Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast from GPB News. Today is Friday, August 23rd. I'm Peter Biello. On today's episode, officer misconduct leads a Georgia prosecutor to drop charges in three murder cases. Georgians speak at the last day of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, and a Savannah columnist talks about her new books of essays. These stories and more are coming up on this edition of Georgia Today. The Democratic National Convention wrapped up in Chicago last night with Vice President Kamala Harris formally accepting her party's nomination for president. GPB's Sarah Callis reports on Georgia Democrats who went out to watch.
Georgia Democrats gathered in downtown Atlanta to watch the vice president speak. Harris focused on her background as a prosecutor and her childhood while laying out policies on the economy, immigration, abortion, and conflict in the Middle East. Alfonso Bowie lives in Lithonia and attended the watch party.
It feels like when Obama ran, and just being in Chicago at the time, just the energy, it's back. And I think people have a sense of hope, and that's what we needed. A sense of hope, someone who can really get the job done, who isn't out just for themselves and their select group of friends.
Republicans held their convention where they nominated former President Donald Trump in July. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis in Atlanta.
Georgia was well represented on stage during the four-day convention, and last night was no exception. Metro Atlanta Congresswoman Lucy McBath joined others in talking about their experiences with gun violence and calling for gun reform.
Secure, safer futures that we all deserve. We will organize. We will advocate. We will run for office.
McBath became an advocate for gun safety after her son was shot and killed in 2012. A partnership between Houston County Schools and the County Health Department is bringing primary health care closer to where children and their adults spend time. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more.
Houston County Public Health Nurse Manager Chris Sykes says she often sees adult patients who forego basic medical care.
They are really great about taking care of children, but as adults, we don't get the physicals and they don't get the health screenings so that we can prevent diseases from ever happening in the first place.
Starting August 27th, Sykes will be one of the nurses managing telehealth visits at the Lindsay Student Support Center in Warner Robins. The once-a-month screenings will be low-cost and open to adults and kids in the community. A local agency will also offer help with prescriptions. About 14 patients can be seen each month with registration online. Local public health departments statewide offer screenings in-house, too. Those interested are encouraged to call for more information. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
A Georgia prosecutor is dropping charges against six people in three pending murder cases after a pair of police officers were indicted for alleged misconduct. GPB's Benjamin Payne reports the district attorney's office in Savannah's Chatham County determined the cases had been tainted by the officers' involvement.
Ashley Wood and Daryl Repress are currently under indictment for perjury and violation of oath of office as Savannah police officers. After the indictments were handed down in May, Chatham County District Attorney Shalina Cook-Jones says she and her staff thoroughly reviewed every case in which Wood or Repress had any involvement. In the end, Cook-Jones decided that six murder cases would be dismissed. Here she is, referring to the families of the victims.
Those families suffer a grave injustice, not just because they lost a family member, but also because the criminal justice process will not be able to secure convictions in those cases for various legal and evidentiary reasons. Our hearts go out to them.
Cook-Jones says her office could reopen the closed cases if new evidence comes to light. For GPB News, I'm Benjamin Payne in Savannah.
Police in Albany have made an arrest in a 3-year-old cold case involving the fatal drive-by shooting of a 9-year-old boy. The child, Nigel Brown, was sleeping in his bed when a vehicle passing through the area opened fire in August of 2021. Police announced yesterday the arrest of 35-year-old Jernardrick Pittman. He's charged with murder and other crimes. Police say the arrest came after a citizen came forward with new information and anonymously provided video. The agency that runs the state's Medicaid program has approved a $5.7 billion budget request for fiscal year 2026. The budget request approved for the Department of Community Health represents a $347 million increase over the agency's current spending plan, which took effect last month. The agency's chief operating officer told members of its board yesterday that a Medicaid enrollment surge is expected to start later this fiscal year and move into fiscal year 2026. That's because of the end of the federal redetermination process, called unwinding, that started with the official end of the COVID-19 pandemic last year. The budget request will go to the governor's office later this year and ultimately will be decided during the General Assembly session that begins in January. Some homeowners in West Georgia's Troup County will see their property taxes reduced by $150 this year, thanks to a one-time reimbursement for homesteaded properties. County Chairman Patrick Cruz justified the cut, pointing to housing costs and inflation impacting families' budgets. Officials with the tax assessor's office says the reduction will save homeowners a combined $2 million this year. Citizen scientists in four southeastern states, including Georgia, are heading out to their gardens to count pollinators this weekend. The Great Southeastern Pollinator Census takes place today and tomorrow, and anyone can participate. Becky Griffin, with the University of Georgia Cooperative Extension, started the census in 2019. She says the data you collect helps researchers study pollinators.
A big example of that is using some of the data that we've collected over the last 5 years. A person who is an economic statistician did some other research, added to it, and we were able to determine the monetary or economic valuation of pollination to our state.
To participate, all you need to do is count how many pollinators, like bees, butterflies, and flies, you see on a single plant within a 15-minute time period. Then report what you count to the census website, gsepc.org. That website stands for Great Southeastern Pollinator Census. Delta Airlines' chief operating officer is leaving the company weeks after the carrier's operational meltdown in the wake of the global CrowdStrike tech outage. The Atlanta-based airline told the Securities and Exchange Commission in a filing today that COO Mike Spanos would leave the company at the end of this month. Delta CEO Ed Bastian told employees in a memo that Spanos has taken a position with another company. Spanos came on as Delta's chief operating officer 14 months ago, having held previous executive experience at Six Flags Entertainment and PepsiCo. The city of Atlanta is reopening a lottery for its popular e-bike rebate program. Starting tomorrow and for 1 week only, city residents can apply online for a chance to receive a rebate good at several e-bike retailers of between $500 and $2,000. During the program's first lottery in June, a little less than 9,000 people applied for rebates. Only 413 were given out. Three-quarters of rebate dollars, a little less than $400,000, are reserved for low- and middle-income earners. The program, administered by the Atlanta Regional Commission, is expected to offer a third lottery later this year.
Hi, I'm David Zelsky from A Fork in the Road on GPB. Join me Thursday, August 29th at the Tybee Post Theater on Tybee Island for a special live taping of the Fork in the Road podcast. We'll be talking about the importance of coastal Georgia and its seafood with the dedicated individuals who farm it, fish it, and serve it. Find more information at gpb.org/community.
Savannah columnist Jessica Lee Libos has survived decades of change in the city's media landscape. Irreverent, funny, poignant, and hard-hitting, she flies her progressive, Jewish, and motherly flags prominently in her writing, often latching on to lost causes and local characters. In Savannah, local writers matter, and few embody the city more than she does. Libos recently spoke about her two-book essay series, Savannah Sideways, with GPB's Orlando Montoya.
You know, I mean, I began writing probably in the early 90s, and the landscape was a lot simpler back then. I am a alternative weekly veteran, and that's where my career began. Moved into blogging and landed at the Alt Weekly in Savannah. After that, you know, now it's Substack. We don't call them blogs anymore, but then I still freelance a little bit in print. You know, I'm just kind of following where it all takes me, but my essential format hasn't changed, which is a weekly column, you know, somewhere between 800 and 1,000 words about what I see happening right now.
And I like the fact that you've continued to do it even through many different changes, which can be stressful.
Yes. I mean, I think COVID was fairly stressful. Actually, not so much for me personally, but I feel like for the city of Savannah, it's really gone through a lot of cataclysmic cultural changes. a lot of people moving here, a lot of people leaving in the last few years. It's really remarkable. I mean, I think that people who have been here a long time, we see each other and we, you know, everybody's like, can you believe the growth? Can you believe the change?
The title of your two-book series, Savannah Sideways, captures a sense that you don't take yourself too seriously. You have some hard-hitting pieces, but not too many. What do you consider an ideal mix of heavy topics and lighter topics in your writing?
You know, I've always considered myself a writer. Some people have tried to characterize me as a journalist, and I'm always careful to correct them because I do enjoy journalism, you know, but it's really hard. It takes a lot of rigor. It takes a lot of research. So I really enjoy doing those pieces. I also really like kind of riffing on social trends and just words themselves and descriptions and observations. So I guess an ideal mix would be, I don't know, like maybe 25% of really the hard-hitting stuff and the rest kind of assuaging my curiosity for what's going on now.
As a columnist, there's always a question of how much of yourself to put into every column. Some columns might require more, others less, but you don't seem to have a problem putting yourself very loudly in print. How much of you would you say is in this collection?
In the collections, the Savannah Sideways, which comes together as the story of coming to Savannah and learning how to fit in a place that didn't really welcome outsiders back then. And the second is The Camellia Thief. And that collection, the theme is around waking up after COVID and realizing the city that I'd come to know and love was changing very quickly. I have always admired Hunter S. Thompson and Jack Kerouac. Those were the writers I wanted to be when I was in college. So I think that coming from a personal perspective is where I've always been. And it's what I enjoy most.
I mean, there's no mistaking that you're a progressive, you're Jewish, you've got two kids that you talk about as well. Do people think that they know you in a way that maybe in print, you're not putting all yourself there, you know?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's a personality. It's a, you know, a persona that I'm putting out there for sure. You know, I like to say, you know, I always tell the truth, but I do put in embellishments. And my children and husband have always been very patient about the way I characterize them. And, you know, it's interesting because I have built something of a national following, but I have always considered my audience to be my neighbors. So I feel like, yes, maybe people feel like they know me through my writing, and you know, they kind of do, because I am writing from a perspective of, this is where I live. This is who I'm interacting with. This is how I feel about it. This is what I see.
As a writer, you're able to go to a lot of interesting places and bring your readers with you. In this compilation of columns, Savannah Sideways and The Camellia Thief, you write about a canoe trip, a wildlife center, a sewage treatment plant, but what are some of the most outrageous situations you found yourself in?
Oh, gosh. Well, the writer and writing coach, Rosemary Daniel, recently said to me, she said, did you really climb to the top of the bell tower at Mikveh Israel? And I said, yes.
And Mikveh Israel, we should say, is the city's downtown synagogue and the third oldest Jewish congregation in America.
It is. It was extremely dangerous and highly unadvised. But so that was probably one of the most outrageous places. One of my favorite places recently, because since The Camellia Thief came out, my reputation as a camellia lover and camellia thief, people have been inviting me to the storied, very old camellia forests of Savannah that are out on Isle of Hope and Dutch Island, Vernonburg, and places that have been cultivated with hundreds of different types of camellias, where I've just been set loose to explore and find myself and try to identify different species of camellias. And so that's been really exciting.
At the same time that you write about all these interesting and very unusual things, you also write about a lot of ordinary events and give them meaning. That's one thing I like about your writing. Are you always looking for stories?
Yes, I'm always looking for stories, and they ultimately present themselves. People ask, well, don't you run out of things to write about? Never. There are so many stories from the past that still haven't even been told. They're endless. And even in a small city like Savannah is absolutely so rich with stories. I don't think we could ever run out of them.
And where can people read you now?
Well, I write a weekly Substack. It will take you directly there from savannahsideways.com. And there's lots there to read, plenty of stuff that's not in the books.
And there's plenty more to talk about, but I feel that this conversation takes care of this collection. It's called Savannah Sideways and The Camellia Thief. Jessica Lee-Libos, thank you so much for joining me today.
Orlando, it is always a pleasure to hear your voice. Thank you.
That was GPB's Orlando Montoya with Savannah writer Jessica Lee-Libos. Her Savannah Sideways and The Camellia Thief are the latest books to be featured on Narrative Edge. That's GPB's podcast about books with Georgia connections, hosted by Orlando and me. Find Narrative Edge at gpb.org or wherever you get your podcasts. The Braves face the Washington Nationals at home tonight for the first of a three-game series. Last night, the Braves beat the Phillies 3-2. Starting pitcher Spencer Schwellenbach threw 6 2/3 innings, striking out 9 and allowing only 3 hits. Adam Duvall hit the solo homer in the 6th inning that ultimately kept the Braves on top, and he said the rookie Schwellenbach pitched a great game.
He's a smart kid, too. It seems like he knows how to pitch, and you know, he's got the stuff to put guys away, and that's what you need.
Defensively, the Braves haven't missed a beat since losing third baseman Austin Riley to a hand injury earlier this week. The Braves picked up Gio Urshela from the Tigers, and so far, he's been turning slick double plays, and at the plate, he's gone 3-for-10 with a walk and 2 RBIs during the 3-game series against Philadelphia. And that's a wrap on a week's worth of news. We appreciate you tuning in, and if you want to check out the latest, you can always go to gpb.org/news. That's also a great place to catch up on the goings-on at the DNC this week. And if you haven't subscribed to this podcast yet, we highly recommend you do it now. That way, we'll pop up automatically in your feed on Monday afternoon. And if you have feedback for us or a story idea, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.